Well, I thought I would like to talk to you a little bit about Passover. Is going to be celebrated, I think, this Friday.
No, it was last week.
And I would like to talk to you about communion, that we call communion, the Lord's Supper. Passover was instituted, and God commanded his people to remember that. And the Passover lamb, Jesus Christ being our Passover, in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, it says, Christ our Passover sacrifice for us. I believe that he was the Passover was the type of what the Lord Jesus Christ would accomplish and do. And then when just before Jesus Christ was going to suffer and die, and before God raised him from the dead, obviously, he desired to be with his men. And if you would, go to Matthew 26. I want to go through each one of these records and remember what's here and why it's here. I think a lot of people have a lot of different thoughts about this. I think some of them, some traditions and other things are nice, but I don't think they're necessarily always accurate. So let's just read it from the scriptures and see it for ourselves. Matthew 26, we're going to start reading here in verse 17. Now the first day of the feast of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying unto him, Where will thou that we prepare thee to eat the Passover? And he said, Go unto the city, and to such a man, and say unto him, Master, the Master saith, The time is at hand, and I will keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples. And the disciples did as Jesus hath appointed them, and they made ready the Passover at preparation time. Now when even was come, he sat down with the 12. And as they did eat, he said, Verily I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. Now this is at the what we call the Last Supper. And they were exceedingly sorrow, and began each one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? Yeah, it's kind of odd that that would be the, is it me? I mean, you would think that we would know whether we even have that in our soul or not before he even asks, you know, when he's made the statement, they should have known, well, it's not me, who is it? So, I just thought about that. And they were exceedingly sorrowful. In verse 23, and he answered and said, He that dips his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. And the Son of Man goes as it is written of him. But woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born. That's pretty heavy. Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? And he said unto him, Thou hast said. You said it. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, and he blessed it. And he brake it, and he gave it to his disciples, and said, Take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup, and he gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, Drink you all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, the New Covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you that I will not drink henceforth of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out unto the Mount of Olives. And then he taught them. Let's go to the record in Mark chapter 14. In verse 22. I guess we should read a little bit before that. And in verse 16 it says, and the disciples went forth, and they came unto the city, and they found as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. And in the evening he cometh with the 12, and as they sat, he did eat. Jesus said, verily I say unto you, one of you shall, which eateth with me, shall betray me. And they began to be sorrowful, and to say unto him, one by one, is it I? And another said, is it I? And he answered and said unto them, it is one of the 12 that dips with me in the dish. And the Son of Man indeed goeth, as it is written of him. But woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. Good were it for him, for that man, if he hadn't never been born. You know, it's going to go the way God has written it in his word concerning the Jesus Christ and his sacrifice and all that has been done. I mean, that is going to come to pass. But the man who did it, it would be better for him if he had never been born. And as they did eat, Jesus took bread, and he blessed it, and he broke it, and he gave it to them, and said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And he said unto them, this is the blood of the New Testament, the new covenant, which is shed for many. Verily I say unto you, I will not drink no more of the fruit of the vine until that day that I drink it new in the kingdom of God. And when they had sung a hymn, and they went out to the into the Mount of Olives. You know, and he said unto them right after that, you know, just to read the next verse, and all you shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. But afterward that I am risen, I will go before you unto Galilee. I just thought that's a tremendous verse that very few people think about when it comes to fulfilling the word of God that was written also long ago. Go to Luke 22. Luke gives a little bit more detail. But look at how quick and straightforward the point is that Jesus Christ has made in these other Gospels so far. And we're going to start reading in Luke 22, verse 1. Now the feast of the unleavened bread drew nigh, which is called Passover. And the chief priest and the scribes sought how that they might kill him, talking about Jesus, for they feared the people. Then entered Satan into Judas, surnamed Iscariot, being of the number of the 12. And he went his way and communed with the chief priests and the captains how he might betray him unto them. Now, there you go. Before Jesus, remember on the other records, Jesus said, one of you is going to betray me. Well, he had already has before he started the supper that night. He had already betrayed Jesus Christ. He had already betrayed him for money. He had already communicated and conspired with the chief priest to do that long before he sat at the table. And when And they were glad, talking about the chief priests and the enemies of Jesus. They were glad and convened to give him money. And he promised and sought opportunity to betray him unto them in the absence of the multitude. I'll do this when there's nobody around. Then came the day of unleavened bread, when the Passover must be killed, and he sent Peter and John, saying, "Go and prepare us the Passover, that we may eat." And they said unto him, "Where will thou that we prepare?" And he said unto them, "Behold, when you are entered into the city, there shall be a man to meet you there. There shall be a man meet you, bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him unto the house where he enters in, and you shall say unto the good man of the house, 'Matt, the master saith unto thee, where is the guest chamber where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples?'" So that was not recorded in the other gospels. You know, he just said unto them, "Go," and it happened as he had said. This tells you what he told them to do. Go find, you walk into the city, you see a guy with a pot of water, follow him. I just think that's a classic. So he goes and they do it, and he shall show you the large upper room furnished. There, make ready. Verse 13. And they went, and they found as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. And when the hour was come, he sat down, and the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup, and he gave thanks, and said, "Take this, and divide it amongst yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come." And he took of the bread and gave thanks, and he brake it, and he gave unto them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." And likewise also the cup, after supper, saying, "This cup is the new testament, the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. But behold, the hand of him that betrayed me is with me on the table. And truly the Son of Man goes as it was determined, but woe unto that man by whom he is betrayed." And they began to inquire amongst themselves of them it was that which of them it was that should do this thing. And there was also a strife among them. Now this is added, and this is at the same supper. Remember, this is in John. The record goes on for many chapters of what he did after the supper. But these other things are going on. You have the betrayal, and then you have also, now you have this record. And there was also a strife among them, as which should be accounted to be the greatest. I mean, this is it. This is the last fellowship. You know, before he goes to suffer and die and get raised from the dead. And he knows it. He's got one that has betrayed him, one that has committed treason and betrayed him, and he knows it, and the guy who did it knows it, and everything has been set and done. And now he's got to handle this. I mean, we get this idea that the Last Supper was just this real sweet, wonderful, You know, it was one of the, like, the best fellowship in the world. You know, they sang songs and they ate together and they laid on each other and they were, you know, they also had all this kind of nonsense going on. So you got to paint a better picture in your head of what the Lord had was dealing with. There was a strife among them, verse 24 again, and there was a strife among them. Which of them should be counted greatest? And he said unto them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. But you shall not be so. But he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he that is chief, as he that does serve. So the greatest in the church, the greatest in the kingdom, the most important person amongst us is the one that knows the least, the one that is youngest, the one that is needs to be served. That is the most important, and the one who is to be the most important in the church and amongst our fellowship, the one that needs to be served. And those of us who think ourselves to be, to have something, then we are to think of ourselves as servants. I remember I taught a teaching a long time ago, and a whole bunch of people got very angry at me because I used the illustration that we are coffee boys. I used the illustration of the job, and when I was an apprentice, and I was called the coffee boy, and I would get the orders for all the men to do the daily coffee, and the my foreman at the time, he said, kid, put your little shiny new toolbox underneath the bench over there in the shanty. He said, and if you can get the coffee right, maybe I'll let you work on my building. And, you know, and I equated that. We are to serve. You know, I don't know how exactly I did it in the teaching a long time ago, but everybody was so, we're not servants, we're sons. You know, that was their attitude. And they're not here, and I still am. But it was a shame because they just wouldn't see this particular point that a leader is to be the one who serves. The most important people are the people who don't know nothing. The people who need the service, they need the help, they need the love, they need guidance and strength, and they need to be taken care of. Verse 27, for whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat or he that serves? Is not he that sitteth at meat the one that's at the table being served? Are they not the greater? But I am among you as he that serves. You are they which have continued with me in my temptations. I am appointed unto you a kingdom. I am appointed unto you a kingdom as my Father hath appointed unto me. Now he's talking to the 12, right? They are going to be appointed a kingdom of their own, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on thrones judging 12 tribes of Israel. He's given them, and they just got finished having this conversation of which one of us is greatest. You know, we just had one of the 12, and you know, so there's 12 tribes in Israel, but we only got 11 guys left because Judas has betrayed them. And I think Paul is the one who's going to be the apostle born out of due time. It says later on. That's my guess, my best educated understanding. But they're going to serve as the ruling members over the tribe, one of the tribes. And the Lord said unto Simon, 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 behold, Satan hath desired to have you. Now here you have the master, the Lord. He knows what's going on. He knows Judas has already betrayed him. He knew about, got the revelation from God of the guy with the water pot to get the room, the furnace room to prepare the Passover. And now he looks Peter straight in the eye and he says, the Satan has desired to have you. He wants you, Pete. I think that would set a chill up and down your spine, wouldn't it? That he might sift you like wheat. That he might just, sifting wheat is, you just stick the thing in and you blow the chaff off and you just sift out the wheat. He's just going to put you right through his fingers. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brother, and you do the same for others. And he said unto the Lord, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. And he tells Peter, listen, before the cock crows three times, you're going to betray me. And so goes the record. Go to 1 Corinthians. Get a little bit more insight on these records. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. This is a hard chapter for a lot of people. It was a hard chapter for me for, and still is for quite a number of different reasons. When Jesus Christ said, do this in remembrance of me. Each time in the Gospels. In the Greek, there's a sense of a fond and loving remembrance. A special remembrance to take a real account. Remember me, please. Every time you pick up the bread and you break it and you drink the wine, remember what I did and the new covenant that I am going to establish. Now, that's what we call the communion service in the church, or the Lord's Supper. In chapter 11 is a real... the Apostle Paul is talking to probably the most carnal, dysfunctional church in the first century that we know of. These are people who rejoice in so many different things. The entire book is one of reproof and correction and you're not doing this right, you're not doing that right. And I think most of you that have read it understand. In chapter 11, they talk about worship and how men and women ought to dress. And then Paul says to him, well, do what this is sounds right to me. Nothing wrong with that. And then he says, but we don't have any such customs in all the churches. And then he gets to reproving them now on how they handle their meetings. And what they do with what he taught them. And it says in verse 17, it says, now in this I declare unto you, I praise you not, that you have come together not for the better, but for the worst. When you come together for your meetings, it's not for good. You get worse. Your fellowships stink. They are terrible. And spiritually, you get worse. That is unbelievable, that statement. I want you to remember, the reason I'm reading this is because we're going to get to the communion. That's often quoted, and I often quote it when I do my communion service and the fellowship. But you got to see the context of how this is spoken and brought in, and that's why I'm doing it. See, Jesus Christ wanted I want you to remember what I've done, what I'm going to do. That's what he wanted with communion. So he says to him, you come together for the worst. Verse 18, for first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there are divisions among you. Another translation says that there are little cliques and divisive divisions among them. And I partly believe it. For there must be also heresies among you, that you which are approved may be made manifest among you. That they which are approved may be manifest among you. I mean, it's the heresy is going to be talked about here. When you come together, wherefore unto one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. This is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, every one taketh before others his own supper, and one is hungry and the other is drunken. This is how their meetings are handled. So they get online, they do like the, what do we call that? Where you get online and you get the food. All right, so one is hogging. We did this in a meeting once. I had people taking 5 pieces of chicken. By the time I got to the end of the line, there was celery sticks left. So you have the people hogging, pigging out at the beginning of the line, and then you have other people going hungry. You know, it even happens in our church once in a while. And then the buffet. So you got one, they take at the supper, one is hungry, and another is drunken. One's drinking too much, and the other is not getting enough. What? Have you not houses to eat and to drink in, or despise you, the church of God, and shame them that have not? What shall I say unto you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. They come together for their meetings, and it's actually a detriment to God and his word. And they're not doing what Paul had taught them about the Lord's Supper. They are and have decided to institute, we're going to have a smorgasbord, and we're going to eat a lot, and we're going to drink a lot. And like I said, you don't care about anybody else. Why would they didn't care about anybody in the next chapters with the manifestations? They certainly were not gracious enough to make sure that everybody that was online got something to eat. These people are all about themselves. And they do that spiritually as well as they have done it in chapter 11 here physically. So then they say, he says to them, don't you got your own houses to eat in? You didn't come. This is not the Lord's Supper. You're not coming here for a meal. Verse 23, for I have received of the Lord that which I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it, and he said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner also, he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament, the new covenant in my blood. This do you as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Whenever you sit down and you break bread and you drink wine, which was probably almost at every meal that they had, all the Lord asked in the Gospels was to remember him. to remember what he was doing, to remember what was going to take place and come to pass. The covenant, the sacrifice, the blood that would be shed, to remember him. And this is what Paul taught. In verse 26, it says, "And as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death." You remember his death until he comes. You remember what was done, his sacrifice, his death, until he returns. "Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord." Now, this is obviously the part that always gives me much trouble. "But let every man examine himself, and so let him eat that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh judgment or damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause there are many weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that he may come not together unto condemnation. And to the rest I will set in order when I come." End of the subject. What the Lord Jesus Christ instituted and said in the Gospels in the New Testament, and what Paul taught these people, was the same exact thing. It was to remember the Lord, his sacrifice, his death, what his body and blood was sacrificed for, the new covenant that was instituted, and the kingdom that's coming. And what they turned it into was a circus. And there was divisions among them and heresies that they would treat this remembrance with such contempt. This remembrance was treated with such contempt that God, he said, literally, God judged them. And there were people who were sick and dead because of that judgment upon the church in Corinthians. That's what I believe is the truth there. And it took me a long time to come to understand the this Friday is going to be Passover. Every Passover, Mary and I do our communion. We do every meal we eat in the evening. We remember the Lord, we remember the covenant. You know, I know that most people have been taught, well, let's pray for the food. Let's thank God for what we got on the table. I think those are all good things. You know, but then they got into the thing for years. They were praying for the purity of the food and the health of. I mean, where is this in Scripture? Nothing bad about it, but I didn't hear anybody remembering the Lord, the covenant, his death, the blood, when praying at the meal, which is what the Lord asks for. Remember, when you break bread and you drink your wine, and again, I believe that was a staple in every meal that they had, maybe even breakfast. I'm not sure that they had breakfast, but maybe even breakfast. Because wine was a whole lot better to drink than water. And he wanted us to remember when we sat and eat. And we were to do this as often as we, not in ceremony, not as a ceremony once a year. I mean, I always sit Passover, I think about this Passover, I consider it. Passover is just such a big part of Scripture that I make sure that I am thinking and doing this with not just normally, but extra special on that evening when the sun goes down. Because he is my Passover. He is the one who has saved us. He is the one who has guaranteed us entrance into the kingdom if we remain faithful, keeping him Lord. And we're to do this as often as we eat it, as often as we drink it, and not turn it into what the Corinthians did, which was a heresy, a real heresy against Almighty God. And for that heresy, they were being judged. So, let's remember what our Lord did every time we eat. And let us especially remember it in these this particular time of the year, where he died for us, and God raised them from the dead 3 days later.